Hey everybody, good morning. Happy Thursday, April 11th. Plant-based morning show sponsored by Compliment, lovecompliment.com. This is the best show of the week. Thursday morning is typically the best one. Best show for the best day of the week. So that lines up perfectly. We're going to talk today about the big news, of course. Well, there's some legal stuff that's interesting. The France legal victory for the plant-based meats for now. But also some people drink Coca-Cola for breakfast. And I didn't ever know this. And they're saying it's a way, it's something we can learn as plant-based people. We can learn about how to spread our movement that way. Doug, you ever drink cheer wine for breakfast or anything like that? It's a Southern thing.
No, I don't. I do not do that. But you know what? I can see why it would be refreshing. I'm not going to lie. I mean, if you're going to get your caffeine from somewhere, it's certainly it's not better for you than coffee. I'm not trying to argue that or as good for you as coffee. But, you know, I could see why it'd be refreshing in the hot South, the deep South.
Yeah, right. You can see that. And it, I mean, where it stems from, I think, is not so much adults using it as a caffeine drink. Although maybe that, I think Coca-Cola tried to jump on that possibility, but it's more kids. Parents gave their kids the drink, and now the kids want to, or those kids are grown-ups, and they want to give their kids the drink. And I guess I can see how, like, you know, when you thought juice was a really good thing for the morning, you know, back in the dark ages of 1980s or whatever, maybe it wouldn't seem that different than juice, you know? Maybe it would have. Maybe juice would have seemed, like, supremely healthy back then, and Coke never did, but who knows? But anyway, we'll get into that.
I remember doing an experiment where in elementary school where people brought in teeth that they would lose, or like, I don't know, it was like a certain time, and they put it in, soaked it in water for a week, in orange juice, and in Coke, and, you know, in various drinks. And and orange juice decayed the tooth just as much as anything else did.
Yeah, I believe that. I have very sensitive teeth, and I can feel orange juice more than anything else. I don't really drink much soda, so I don't notice it then, but if I drink orange juice, I definitely have trouble chewing stuff later in the day.
Kate Rivercat says, good for a hangover. And that is probably when I've had soda for breakfast. I am sure in college, many times I would go to a go to a fast food spot, get a greasy biscuit and some Coke.
Yeah, I've never really done it for breakfast, I don't think. But I've definitely attempted to cure a hangover with a Coke before.
You know who drinks Diet Coke for breakfast?
No.
Who? Former President Trump.
Oh, yeah? Does he?
Yeah.
Wow.
12 Cokes a day is what I think they used to say.
Is that right? Jeez.
Yeah.
Terrible. All Diet Cokes or some regular Cokes?
No, I think it's just Diet Coke. I think that's his drink.
Interesting. All right. People here, let's see, Mr. Jeffrey, Danielle P., Britters, Kate, Carmen, Kelly K., Alex Turton, Garuda Legends, I think that's it, who have checked in so far saying good morning. So good morning to all of you. Thank you for showing up. Alex Turton says, cheer wine for the win. I think I saw a cheer wine beer the other day. Does that seem right, Doug?
Cheer wine beer?
It was a cheer wine collaboration. The cheer wine was in the product, and I can't remember what it was. I think it was beer. But I'm not
What's your take on cheer wine?
I don't know if I've had it. Does it just basically taste like cherry
Coke? You had it?
I don't know. I always see it. I don't. I mean, I definitely didn't have it as a kid. Since I've moved to the South 12 years ago or something, I started seeing it. I don't think I've had it. What is it like? Cherry Coke?
Yeah, it's just, it's basically the same as cherry Coke. We used to, when we would come to North Carolina for like the beach when I was a kid, we would stock up on a bunch of cheer wine. Go to the store, first thing, right when you got there, get a case of cheer wine.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see someone doing that. Is it better than cherry Coke or just same thing as cherry Coke?
I mean, I've never done a taste test. I don't know. I think it's just one of those things that's unique to North Carolina. So you have your loyalty.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I'll have to give it a try. I do like cherry Coke. If I'm going to get a Coke, cherry Coke is a top contender. Beer is Cheerwine Ale from Noda Brewing Company.
Local Charlotte spot for you.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of their beers, though, but I'd try that one for sure. All right, good. So we'll get to the soda thing in a little bit. In the meantime, you told me yesterday that Carly, who we had on the show a week ago today, is now a New York Times number one best-selling author, which is something even I can't say. Even someone like me can't even say that.
even you can't say it. She has officially surpassed you.
Yeah.
Up until now, you were.
I was arguably as influential as Carly up until now, but now she's removed all doubt of that. But anyway, I'm extremely happy for her. I sent her a text last night and I said, you deserve it because she does deserve it. I mean, she's just puts out great content and she's innovative and she works hard. And you know what? She was a pro on that interview when we had her on Thursday.
I know. She was like, so good. I was listening
not that she was bad before, but that was before when she was on Nomad Athlete Radio was like before her other book came out and, mm-hmm. or maybe just as it came out. And she was new then, you know, or at least new to doing podcasts and that thing. But you can tell she's just done so many now because she was excellent. She filled in perfectly for you. Better than you, I think.
I think so too. Honestly, I was listening to it. I was like, man, this is really good. I'd rather listen to this than whatever I have to say.
No, that's not true. No one can replace Doug. Except for Matt Frazier, because you put your name as Matt Frazier.
Oh, shoot.
So you might want to change that.
Fix that.
In the meantime, Mr. Jeffrey says, anyone ever had Calimocho? Red wine mixed with Coke. I'm curious to try it. It also grosses me out. I had that in Spain. That was the thing mm-hmm. that the underage kids drank when I was in Spain. And they had it in a leather. No, so that was just red wine. But they would do it to go out at night, mix Coke and red wine. And it was awful. I hated it. And I tried it again, I don't know, a few years ago when I went back with somebody, who one of my old exchange students, and we met up. And it was just as bad. Worse, actually, now. So, I mean,
they used to drink it in Chile as well.
You did too? And it was same. It was called that? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I didn't know how the X in the spelling. So is it a Mexican kind of idea? I mean, there's no chance. I mean, they didn't have Coke in the Aztecs when they were using X in Spanish words.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. But it, it was like the worst of the worst wine. El Gato. Yeah. And then, you know, Coke.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I mean, no, but I drank it several times.
It's just not better than regular wine. I mean, I guess it cuts it, and it cuts the alcohol, so you could drink it more. But why wouldn't you just drink I'd just rather drink the worst red wine than that.
Yeah, I guess. You know, it's like it gives you the rush of the caffeine, though. You know, it's like Surge. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
No. Surge is not. What was the one that got banned?
The one that looked like a battery.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had a friend who used to drink that stuff and it would go crazy.
The worst I've ever gotten was drinking that stuff.
They were like orange flavored, right?
I've ever gotten.
Weren't they orange?
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple flavors, but.
All right. In the meantime, while you're looking at that, Big Media Scott says, what's her book called? The bestseller. The new one is Scrappy Cooking. The first one was Plant You. Mr. Jeffrey already answered that. Plant You, I think, got to number 4 on the list, as I recall. She got the same as Robert and I did with Plant-Based Athlete, but now number 1, which is not what many people cannot say that. That's a very special accomplishment.
Sparks.
Sparks, that's right.
Yeah. And there's also 4 Loko. That's the one that got banned. I don't know about Sparks.
Oh, really?
I didn't know. Anyway, do not recommend that to anyone ever, no matter how young and reckless you are.
No. You don't want to do that.
Bad idea.
I remember I did it a little bit and I would wake up in the night with my heart just pounding. I wake up from from a sleep and it'd be like, something is wrong with this. So I didn't do much of that.
Yeah. Bad idea.
All right. Any other goings on? I went to the dentist this morning, got the old nitrous treatment, which I like to do before cleaning, minimize anxiety and stuff. And it didn't really work very well. It's starting to wear off. Like I noticed each time I've gone, I think it's been 4 times now. Once for work 3 times just for cleanings.
They just give it to you for cleaning, so you can just ask for it and they'll give it to you.
Well, you have to pay for it. It costs money, but like that's one of their selling points. They're like the anxiety-free dentist, and they cater to people like me who have had bad experiences and otherwise wouldn't go to the dentist at all. But it doesn't work. It's just less and less. And I asked if you typically build up a tolerance. They said no. So now they're like next time.
It's all the nitrous you're doing not at the dentist. It's the problem.
I made that joke to the. Woman in there.
Oh, you did. Yeah. That's funny.
But anyway, so they said next time if you want, we can give you like a Valium or something ahead of time, and then you do that and the nitrous together. You have Valium ahead of time. And I said, I don't want to get into that. I'm not.
No. Then you can't even drive home.
Cocktail of drug dentist. Right. Right. Exactly. Certainly couldn't do a show right afterwards, I don't think. Maybe.
Or maybe you could. Maybe that'd be a good one. I went to the gym this morning. Maybe my fifth time, I think, lifting weights. Yep. I was part of the early morning crew again. It's a whole scene there. You know, I don't know. I kind of like that there's this whole scene.
Like November Project vibe, people who are up early before the rest of the world.
I mean, it's not November Project vibe where everybody's like hugging each other and stuff, but right. I don't know. It's just, there's just like all these people that are just doing their thing at 5:45 in the morning, you know, that while everybody else is sleeping. You know, normally I'm running or whatever, and I'm by myself or with a couple other people, and you mm-hmm. feel like really alone and quiet. But no, there's like this whole like people pumping music and pumping iron and having a good time. It's nice. But yeah, I think this is the fifth time in this new gym cycle that I'm in. And I'm seeing progress. I'm lifting heavier weights. It's good. Yeah.
All right. Good. Is it the same people that you see each day there who are like same groups?
Some of them, but I've only done two of these early mornings. The rest of them have been other parts of the day.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I thought we noticed it was like the exact same people almost, because very few people randomly go to the gym on a morning time. If you're going in the morning, you're on a plan, you're on a program.
Yeah.
And so you see the same people every single time, I noticed. All right. Before we get to the weather report, Vegan Stallion says, Four Loko sounds terrible, but I don't think it should have been banned. It's easy to combine caffeine and alcohol if that's what you want to do. I never really thought about that, but I guess.
It was the equivalent of four coffees or something, plus 13% alcohol. I don't know, something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, a couple of those, you're just trashed. Like,
I mean, does it make sense to ban something if you wanted to make it, you could drink, you can mix a bunch, you can make Calimocho if you wanted.
Right? Yeah, pretty easy. Of course you could.
So does banning, I guess it helps a little bit, makes it a little bit harder to get.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I think about
it. I mean, I think it's just one of those things where it's like if you're making something yourself, you probably know what's in it. If you just buy something off the shelf.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right.
You don't really understand
what's in it. Panera charged lemonade.
Exactly. Yeah.
What if anybody ever put vodka in those things and made it really charged? That wouldn't go well at all. Because you killed somebody without any alcohol in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Britter says it took only one can and she was very sloppy. Now Bridges doesn't drink at all. So there you go. All right. Let's get to the weather report. Got some fun stuff today. Actually, easy weather report to put together. So this will be good. All right, here we go. First one, the big news, as I mentioned earlier, a win for plant-based meats in France, France has really been the lead in terms of trying to ban meaty-sounding terms for non-meat food. And in this case, their top administrative court has suspended the ban that was supposed to start on May 1st, the ban that would not allow the term steak on the label of vegetarian products. And when they say steak, I don't get this. I think it's probably bistec or something of French. I mean, that's the Spanish word. Maybe the French word is very similar. And I guess they use that word that's directly translated as steak, but I think they use it for veggie burgers over there. And so they were no longer going to be allowed to call that. And people were saying it's going to have to be called, you know, rectangular veggie patty or something like that. I don't know why rectangular, but that's what they And so anyway, that's what it was. And then there were 21 others, escalope, ham, filet, prime rib. All these things were not going to be allowed for plant-based products, vegetarian ham, vegan sausage, those type of things. But now it's off, at least for now. The ban is suspended. They're saying serious doubt over the legality of such a ban. And I don't have more details than that. I'm sure if I wanted, I could find them. But it's not that interesting to try to find more about why it's not legal. But I don't know. I guess this is good. You know, we've gone back and forth over whether we think these terms are confusing. And we've seen many examples of products in this country that really are kind of confusing. Even for us as plant-based eaters, we're like, that doesn't quite seem fair. Like, it seems like you could pretty likely buy the wrong thing if you're intending to buy meat and you get that. So, I don't know where I stand on this, but I guess I like wins for plant-based things. So I guess I'm glad about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a win. I think it's, I don't know. It hopefully will, they can come up with terms that aren't as confusing or whatever, if it is in fact confusing. But I think it's just a win to like not severely limit what you can call something or force you to call it something that's sounds terrible, like rectangular veggie patty.
Right. it seems like a simple convention that if you like put an asterisk at the end of it, that means it's not really it. Or like the not company or not co, whatever it's called, they put not in front of everything, which we'll talk about in just a second. They're on airplanes now. It seems like if you could like country by country or language by language, say this is how, this is our convention that's going to mean this is not the real thing. And so there will be no confusion, but the point of what it's trying to mimic, that will also be expressed. I don't know. That seems like that would be good, but can't imagine they'd ever agree on stuff like that. Similarly, the Johannesburg High Court, that is South Africa. If you're not familiar with capitals of countries, they've overturned the planned seizure of plant-based meat alternatives. That was going to happen down there, and that has also been temporarily halted.
Wait. Planned seizure?
They were going to take them from the shelves, I think. The ones that were out there. I don't know how, because how long can these things last? You would think there'd be enough time for the, you know, to turn the product over before the law goes into effect.
These are ones that are called steak or whatever, burger.
Yeah, same thing. Same idea.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So they were going to take them off the shelves. Again, I don't know why they couldn't just like set the law to start in 6 months when all the products would have expired or been bought. But no, they were going to do it. But now they're not. So I guess it's for the same reason. I don't really know for sure. So tide turning a little bit here. More bad news for meat people, but also kind of bad news for us, Doug. Kraft Heinz's Lunchables have been found by a Consumer Reports investigation to have relatively high amounts of lead, cadmium, and sodium. Sodium, not so scary, but lead and cadmium, I don't really want relatively high amounts of my food. They said it was 50% of the levels, more than 50% of California's maximum allowable limit. So it doesn't seem like, I mean, the maximum allowable limit is a maximum. And if you're only half of that, I don't see what is so troubling about it. I mean, I'm assuming the maximum is already kind of a conservative max anyway. I don't know. But apparently the ones that they were serving in schools, and they are doing that because the FDA or the USDA, actually the USDA, has kind of included them in a school lunch program of some type. I don't know much about that.
Lunchables?
But the ones they were finding in schools actually had much higher sodium than the ones that were on store shelves. So what? I guess they would make those in for the schools separately. At least they were going to package them separately. They're not going to waste money on packaging, and they'll probably ship it in bulk. But I guess they were also making it differently, and they were having much more sodium than the package was. So that's not very good at all.
No.
And now Consumer Reports has urged the USDA to remove Lunchables from the school lunch program.
Yeah. I mean, they should do that regardless of these these findings. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess it's not really bad news for us, but
there's a bad side to it. Here's the bad side for us. This is Kraft Heinz, who has partnered with Notco to make
Notco
all these vegan junky things that we've all grown up loving, such as the mac and cheese, which I haven't tried yet. But, you know, as I was reading this article, I was like, you know what, fine, whatever with the meat stuff. Like, I'm not going to say this is one more reason meat is bad for you, but it's one more reason big food, processed food, ultra processed food, whatever, why that's bad for you. Yes. And by the way, in the article, Kraft Heinz did resort to the old, well, you know, the most recent science actually says that this broad categorization of ultra processed foods doesn't necessarily, you know, get things right all the time. And some of these foods actually have nutrients added to them, so they are especially good for the end consumer. So like, it's the same stuff. And I was like, you know, if you're going to eat that kind of food, this is going to happen. You're going to be exposed to this sort of stuff. But then I thought, you know what? Kraft Heinz is our vegan savior right now, as far as partnering with Notco and getting all these new vegan products out there, not mayo. So, you know, we're no better off. It's the same incentives, I'm sure, are there. And so this, I don't know. I'm just not so happy about that anymore.
Did you ever eat Lunchables as a kid?
Yeah. I don't remember if I took them to lunch or what when we had them, but we did. I feel like it was like on field trips I would have them for some reason. What about you?
Know that my family ever bought me lunch, but of course I had them. You know, they would come in, they'd come up at times. They're so bad. I mean, they're just really
now they're bad. Man, it was really good. I don't know how I didn't think it was gross.
Britters brings up the mini pizza kits. But I mean, just remember those things are like, I mean, it's just a little like bland tortilla or something that you'd spread some bad tomato sauce on and then some raw cheese. And like, that's your pizza kit? It's like, maybe a pepperoni in there. I don't know.
Are the Lunchables refrigerated?
I think so.
They are okay. I don't remember that part for some reason, but it would have to be, I think, because it wasn't like it was cured meat, it was just regular cold cuts.
Yes, anyway, every type of Lunchable needs to be refrigerated.
Okay,
there you go.
Well, it didn't seem gross back then, now it seems gross.
Yeah,
there were those plant based Lunchables that we saw, I think they were in maybe Target or something, not the brand, different brand. I don't know if they're any better, probably not, right? It's still gonna be fake junk. All right, speaking of NotCo, they have announced that some of their products are going to be available in the premium economy cabin of LATAM, L-A-T-A-M. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's Latin American flight thing. They got 6 unique sandwich options there, including NotMila. I don't know what that is. NotChicken and NotBurger. And they come with NotMayo on the sandwich. So you get a whole bunch of knot stuff, and then you get some fresh spinach, roasted tomato, and whole wheat ciabatta, and other stuff. Onions, mushrooms, buttery vegan cheese on potato bread. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. Cool to have those options. If I guess you have to probably order that food special. No one's, you're not getting a free meal on a flight within South America. What if our whole, what if we just ate all knot food all the whole time? Everything we ate was just knot everything. It seems kind of weird.
I mean, all the time, probably not a good idea, but I would be good with, going to a restaurant or whatever. And there was a whole like not sandwich.
Yeah. And it just had not mayo, not cheese, not meat, not bread, not butter.
Yeah. Well, but bread can be good.
Bread would be all right. Yeah. I don't know. Like every now and then, I guess, but it's just 100% UPF. Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Pamela Anderson has announced she's launching a vegan cookbook called I Love You, Recipes from the Heart. I don't think there's any UPF probably in this. It's her. She started out as a recipe card. She was going to give to her boys, and it grew into a book. Funny how that happens. It just did. And now she's got a book coming out. So
you think she's going to compete with Carly for the number one spot on the New York Times?
I don't know. I don't know if Pamela Anderson has a lot of fans from cooking who want to buy her cookbook. I don't think these celebrity cookbooks do that well. I'm not sure. Yeah. You see them at Barnes & Noble, and if you go to the cookbook section, you see the latest celebrity book, like celebrity non-cook who has a book, non-chef. Mm-hmm. I never see those things on bestseller lists, but I don't look at the list all that much. So I don't know.
But like, I mean, no disrespect to Pamela Anderson, but I mean, why would I buy her cookbook? You know?
Right. I thought the same thing. I wondered if this would be any good. She has an acting prowess, modeling prowess. She has a skincare expertise, I guess, now because she's got into this new cruelty-free. Oh no, she doesn't even wear makeup anymore. She's not selling makeup stuff, but skincare. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know about cooking. But if I was a super fan of a celebrity, I'd buy their book that came out, whatever it might be.
Cool. And it's great that it's plant-based.
Yeah. Right. All right, and finally, the Biden-Harris administration, in collaboration with U.S. Department of Agriculture, I guess that's the USDA's Food and Nutrition Service, they have included, or they've made updates to the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for women, infants, and children, and they've included plant-based yogurts and cheeses. What is this nutrition program, Doug? Is this like a food stamps deal, or is this just like, here's what you should eat?
Yeah, WIC is, where you can, it's basically food stamps, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now it's not that they're recommending these things, it's that they're basically saying, because like you can't use that stuff for beer or something, right?
Exactly. Yeah. For WIC, you get money for certain foods that qualify for it. And
what about like tortilla chips?
I have no idea. But like soda's probably not on there, I assume. It's supposed to be vegetables, fruits, cheeses, meats, that kind of thing. So,
Okay. So before these things weren't included, I guess. So that's
I good. Guess not, yeah. Yeah.
Good. All right. So there you go. There is your weather report for the day.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. All right. On to the I realized we forgot. We were trying to do reels and YouTube shorts every day, and we forgot to have one for today.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. Sorry.
Whoops.
All right. Anything else? No, not too much here. Dale Stevens says, I like the marketing, just put not in front of everything. Haha. Yeah, I mean, that could be that what I'm saying. Like, you can put an asterisk at the end of terms. What if we just put not in front of all the terms? Attach the append the prefix to each word, put not in front of it. Unfortunately, now that's taken. That is trademarked, I'm sure. But that would be a nice way to differentiate this stuff. I think I prefer an asterisk over that. If I'm going to be buying,
you prefer an asterisk? That'd be more confusing, though.
It'd be more confusing. But I just, like I said, I don't want to just feel like I'm eating not stuff all the time. Like, it just feels like, yeah. I'm like, am I not living? Like, I don't want to, like, do a simulated life.
We're not dying. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe with some of these foods that are healthier than the original version, you know, maybe it's not dying, you know?
Maybe. Don't know. All right. Couple articles today. Neither one very long. So stick with us. Please chime in. Give us your thoughts. We talked yesterday about oat milk controversy, whether oat milk is a healthy food or not. We didn't talk much about the potential weight loss properties of it. And apparently, according to eatthis.com, people are drinking oat Ozempic to lose weight. And this is a social media sensation. I guess it's a TikTok primarily thing. And it's an oat-based weight loss drink. People are using self-styled, I guess, much cheaper than the real Ozempic would probably be, and probably I don't know what the side effects are, but probably fewer health implications.
Well, it's nothing like Ozempic. I mean, there's nothing that, aside from the weight loss, right? And there's nothing that makes them similar to each other, except that it's a good play on words. I thought it was creative.
So it is, right. It is a play on words and nothing more than that. What it is a half cup of rolled oats, one cup of water, and the juice from half a lime. You blend them together. So you do get the whole oats in here. This isn't, I don't know how oat milk's made. Again, I don't know if they have extra waste fiber. I would assume that they do. But in this case, you don't. You blend it all together with the water and the lime. I don't know really what the lime would do in there, but maybe just make it not palatable.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said people have given the flavor to chalky water with bits of lime. I mean, not surprising at all that that's what it would taste like. But what they do, people are replacing meals with this thing. And I didn't see any specifics about how often you're supposed to do it. But people who do it, they're losing weight. This person on day 6 has lost 5.9 pounds already, which is basically
is that all they're eating and consuming?
Or is no, that just it like replaces. I think it replaces. This is what I was like. Do you replace one meal a day with it? I think so. Because if you're replacing all your meals with it, you're getting very, very few calories.
And nutrients.
Right. Let's check out something here. Calories in a cup of oats. It says 307 calories in a cup. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the article, it said about 150.
So 150 for half cup. And then that lime is going to give you a few more calories. So if you had 4 meals a day of that, you're getting less than 1,000 calories per day. And that's not really sustainable. But it would help lose weight very quickly if that was your goal. But it would not probably do so in a healthy way.
Yeah. No, I mean, as Kate says here, of course they lose weight, right? If you're replacing a meal that's typically way more calories with what's essentially just, oat water. Yeah. I mean, of course you're going to lose weight. It's just calorie reduction, right? I mean, there's nothing about oats that are making you burn more calories, right? Or no property making you actually lose weight.
Only relative to a property, they're saying the drink has a satiating effect, of course, right? I mean, I think water can itself do that if you drink a large amount of water, at least one cup of water. And then for whatever reason, the oats contain a healthy dose of fiber that helps with fullness and satiety, says the nutritionist or dietitian that they recommended here, a dietitian actually. I just wish they would tell us how often you're supposed to do this, because that would help us say anything about the goodness of it. But if you're doing it, they're saying a pound a day is what you can expect to lose with it. Not sometimes up to a pound per day people are reporting losing with this. So if let's say you're replacing 500 calories a day, you're losing 500 calories a day with it. I mean, that wouldn't be nearly a pound. That'd be a pound a week. Because I think around 3,500 calories is a pound or so. So I don't know how people are losing a pound a day with this. Unless like there's some property of the oats that suppresses your appetite later. I'm just not sure. Yeah, I don't know. The dietitian here does not really like the idea of it. She says it's not a balanced meal. You're not getting nutrients. You're not getting protein. She said butter or Greek yogurt or something in there. Chia seeds even. Add some color like blueberries, but she's basically telling you to make a smoothie instead of
yeah. Add a bunch of fruit, you know, add some seeds, maybe a little protein powder.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Why this thing has taken off?
The name.
It must sound enough good to people branding. Like this is something I can manage. Yeah, and the name. And it's not like you're drinking vinegar or something. I mean, it's a normal food. It's just not a lot of it. So anyway, now I don't think we can't endorse that. Plant Based Morning Show stamp of approval is not given for that.
No stickers out to the Ozempic people.
Yeah. Well, they can get a featured on sticker. They wouldn't get an approval.
No, they could get a featured on stamp. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then our other article today is. Okay, this is the headliner. This is your Coca-Cola for breakfast thing. Plant-Based News had this, and I like the story from Plant-Based News. It's really not much of a story. It's kind of just sharing this guy Eric Mierbach's LinkedIn post. It's not really worth reading. He basically tells the Coca-Cola story, and his point is that people in the South are doing it. It's that mother of their kids Coke in the morning, and now these kids have become adults and do it with their kids. Somewhere in here, they say that Coca-Cola has actually intentionally tried to steal a piece of the coffee market. So that did happen, but that's not really what's going on. It's more about the mothers giving it to the kids, and now it's theirs. And they're saying people who are still doing this, despite obvious knowledge that it's not good for you, they're saying they get safety, nostalgia, and motherly love. And then he references Seth Godin here and says it's the marketing equivalent of, as Seth Godin puts it, telling people that their mother did it wrong. Which I know a lot of Seth Godin books. Not all of them, but a whole lot of them. And I've never heard him say that or read that anywhere from him. So I don't know where he did, but it makes sense. He's good at coming up with those kind of lines. And if that's what the message a marketer is trying to tell you, that marketer has a very, very difficult job in front of them, because it's just hard. And the idea that your mother messed up, that's tricky.
It is tricky. Or that you are a mother and you messed up. You know,
right.
If you did that all the time and then everyone's telling you did it wrong or, you know, you shouldn't do that, then you're going to fight against that. You're going to naturally not want to feel like you did it wrong. You fed your kid Coke every day and that can't be bad for you, right?
Right. So this guy, he says he runs a branding, content, and venture studio. He works with purpose-driven change makers, ethical brands. So I assume he does a lot of vegan marketing, because then he goes into what this means for vegan companies. And he says, serving someone a vegan meal basically means telling them they weren't raised right. And I don't really agree with that part. I think you can serve someone a vegan meal in a much different way than that, especially with the right preface that says, this is what we eat. And like as if you went to someone from a different culture's house and they served you what they eat, it's not telling them they weren't raised right. It's just saying there is this different way of doing things, and that's the way we do it. Then he says, bringing a vegan option home for Christmas means telling your own mom she didn't raise you right. And this one's interesting. Having your kid bring a vegan lunch to school is telling all the other parents you think they're not doing it right and have been raised right. And then he says the emotional stakes are very high. Which I think is kind of
true.
Yeah, that's something I've only kind of recently realized this. Like, I kind of thought all this time, because my approach to plant-based diets has always, in terms of having the website about it, my livelihood being from it, I've always kind of prided myself on having this sort of really open approach, not trying to be preachy about it, being welcoming, being inclusive, and just not pushing this, saying this is what I do. And like, if you want to learn anything from it or entertain it, you know, good, but like, I'm not going to tell you should eat this way. And I always assumed that people who knew me in the real world sensed that, and they didn't feel judged by me or anything like this. But I just have this feeling that, like, what perspective I now have perspective, but I think probably a ton of parents who I've indirectly, like through my kids, when they've heard our kids are vegan, they probably said those Frasers, they probably think they're better than everybody because they're vegan, and they probably think everyone should eat the way they are. And I just bet it's, you know, made people not like us. I'm certainly it has. There's no doubt that with all the parents we've come across through all the kids' classes and teams, that there have been people like that who just never said anything. But I don't know. It's hard. I don't like that. I don't mind so much now, but back then I would have had a problem if I realized that. So maybe I just wouldn't let myself believe it back then. But yeah. I think it's true.
No, I think it's true. And you have to wonder, like, do your kids ever not get invited to a play date or something like that where dinner would be involved because they don't want to have to deal with, you know, the parents don't want to have to deal with finding a vegan option for your kid or whatever. Perhaps. Or just aren't sure what to do.
Or even more than that, like, are they just not invited because the parents have, you know, for whatever reason, or even the kid just doesn't like your kid because they're vegan. And it just, the way they're raised, that just doesn't fit in. And, or, you know, or the parents nudge them away from them, or the parents speak badly about vegans, about your kid's diet. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Certainly this stuff happens. Who knows if it happens with us and our people we know, but maybe.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about how bad parents you are. So,
yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm sure that it happens. I'm sure that it happens. And, you know, whether it's right or wrong, you know, it doesn't really matter, but I'm sure that happens. And I don't know that bringing home a vegan dish for Christmas to your family is telling your mom that they did it wrong as much as just saying, as being helpful. I mean, we encourage people to do that, right? Like bring your own dish or offer to, you know, offer to cook or whatever. So that one I'm not so sure about, but I do think,
sorry to interrupt, but like, I don't know if it's specifically if the actual bringing home of the dish matters, but the going home and saying I'm vegan now. So if I'm going to eat at your Thanksgiving table, I'm going to be eating something different than what you're serving, unless you're going to make me this kind of thing. I think that's what actually feels like you did it wrong. And I think a lot of moms and dads do take it that way. And it's like, this is, you know, it's an insult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But so then, yeah. What is the takeaway here for?
Right. Exactly. The vegan, like, what do you do with it? Fine. This makes sense. Right. But as we said, like when you're trying to change a worldview with marketing, and this is something Seth Godin does say all the time, you know, you're just not going to win that. Like you're just not, you have to align with the worldview and then in some way suggest this subtle shift of trajectory, but like, you're not convince somebody that they're wrong in your marketing. And marketing, of course, goes more than just selling. It goes for spreading a message or of some kind. So at the end, though, he says, if we want lasting, sustainable change, we have to take them into account. That's the emotional stakes. They should be front and center because stats won't do it. Honest, good, human, and relatable communication will. And he's a branding guy. He does content, so that's what he does, is he communicates through messaging. So, of course, this is the takeaway. But, like, I don't know what you do with this. Like Beyond Meat or Impossible Meat,
right.
Impossible Food, you're trying to reach people who deal with all the stuff, like in the very limited communication you have with that customer, how do you possibly do this? And I don't know. I mean, things like the changing of the packaging, I mean, there's stuff that makes it not so front and center, like, hey, this is green and better. It's more looks like your stuff. And now we can be more subtle about what we think the benefits are. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I don't know how useful this is. It's interesting, and it's a good point, and it kind of does back up, like, okay, this is why it's so hard to advance the vegan movement. And honestly, we knew all this a lot. He has good words for it, but we kind of already knew this. So I don't know what to do with it.
I mean, is there a way to, like, say this is the same, but it's just the new version of it? You know, this is the... because. Not saying that, you know, your old version was bad, but, you know, with what we know now and the science, the technology, blah, 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 now we have a new version. And you can do the same thing just now with with this new version.
Yeah. If there's time to tell that message in a TV commercial or whatever marketing they're doing, obviously there are ways. But I think that's right. Like saying, and maybe not in so many words, but saying your parents weren't wrong. They didn't mean any harm. This is what people did back then. This is what we knew. And now we know this, and it's different. And our parents were wrong too. Or our parents, you know, not were wrong, but our parents, we also came from the same background you did. You know, we are like you, but now we understand this. I don't know. I mean, but yeah, how do you do that quickly when someone's browsing a grocery store?
I mean, and we're going to be wrong. I mean, as parents, right? You know, I mean, I'm sure that there are things that we're teaching our kids and letting our kids do that, 20 years from now will be frowned upon.
Mm-hmm. And Garuda has that exact point. It says, I hate my parents if they forced me to be vegan. My childhood is based on good food with meat and cheese. The thing is, though, Garuda, I try to take a very open approach with my kids. I don't want to force them to do anything. I really don't. Even if there was something that I felt stronger even than I do about plant-based diet, vegan diet, I'd have trouble forcing it on my kids. I have to have them eventually choose it for themselves. Or I just wouldn't really sit right with my parenting. But I don't hate my parents for this, of course, but I have so many regrets about how I ate as a kid. I ate so much, and this isn't necessarily a meat versus vegan thing.
Yeah.
The junk crap processed food that we ate all the time. Those little barrel hug thing. Remember those hugs? Fake fruit juice. We drink those all the time. And I don't know if we didn't drink Coca-Cola for breakfast, but I'm sure I had one of those for breakfast for a few times. The Icy Pops, we didn't drink water. It was you drank milk, orange juice, Coke, whatever there was. And if we were out of everything and you just had water, it was awful. I hated it. I hated to just drink water. Like, it's cereal all the time, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cookie Crisp, like just tons of that stuff. I mean, it was probably 90% of my calories, all that junk. And the rest was, you know, normal food. My parents weren't, you know, they did all they knew. But yeah. I hate that, right? I wish, like, when I think about my health now, I'm like, all these things I can do now to my health, I can't undo all that. Maybe you can undo some of it. But I think I heard Dr. Furman say something about that, these childhood habits or childhood behaviors that actually cause eventually adult illnesses. And so I was like, man, there's nothing I can go back and do about that. And so even if my kids ended up saying, hey, I wish you would have had us eat meat and cheese because that's really good. On one hand, I can say, well, I gave you the choice all the time. On the other hand, I'll be able to say, I think because we avoided that, we also happened, you know, we lumped in with that all the processed food and everything else. And you didn't eat a normal processed food diet like most kids eat. And I will be very proud of that. They ate real food with the exception of some of these UPF, you know, Beyond Burgers and stuff, but not really that much of that stuff. So it's hard. Parenting, not easy. I don't know the answers. Good. As we said, I'm a bad parent. People talk about that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I would worry about this if my kids were resistant to it, and they're not, you know, and they're young still, but like my older one loves it. So, you know, I feel good about the direction and the lessons we've taught them about food and you know, health. And yeah, I mean, I have no regrets about that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. You know, and there may become a day when they are resistant to it, they do push back from it. And that's the case. Like, we'll talk about it. We'll, you know, and they can do what they want. I mean, we never tell them that they can't do something. I mean, we tell them they can't do things all the time. Don't get me wrong, but you know, but we're not like,
right.
You know, militant.
The hard part though is we've raised them to, as much as we try to be open about it, they're raised in this environment where the norm in our house is you eat vegan food. You don't eat animal products. So like, even when they get to the point where they can make their own decisions, they've been steeped in this upbringing and like, deep, deep roots in their psyches that like the way you eat isn't animal stuff. You eat plants.
Yeah.
But that's parenting, right? Right. And if I didn't think that was good, then I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. I mean, that's any religious household. That's any football culture household, you know, that Alabama is the only team and everybody else is terrible. I mean, like, that's anything. That's parenting. That's just how you grow up.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And if all you got was a totally neutral upbringing with no, like, there'd be not much interest in the world. There wouldn't be different kinds of people. So I think in general, it's good. My mom's here. She has heard me say that she was wrong, did everything wrong. Mentions that she gave us Starbucks cookies for breakfast before school, a thing. I guess I don't remember that too much, but definitely we got baked cupcakes and things for breakfast sometimes, bakery with all this frosting on them. It was junk for sure. But you know, I don't blame anybody for that. Just it's the system. All right. I guess that's it. Vegan Stallion says it's the same with our mental health and personality. We can't undo the damage done in childhood. And yeah, that is, I worry about that too. I worry about all the subtle damages I do to my children without realizing it. Because I read books about this stuff sometimes and it's just very hard to not impart any of that stuff. to pass your stuff on to your kid, your baggage. I mean, but what are you going to do?
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, of course, you right. should be mindful of it, right? But like, we are who we are, and that comes out as parents.
Yep. Yep. All right. He says, don't say Bama's the best team. who's Bama's rival, Doug? Do you know? Auburn?
Auburn, yeah. I think so. I don't know. No, is that right. Georgia? I don't know.
Yeah. For being a Southerner now, I'm really, really out of the college football scene. Okay. That's it. That's our Thursday show. We will be back tomorrow. Don't forget, go to that show tomorrow. It's 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's an afternoon show. Isabel's always on it. Sometimes Matt Tolman's on it. Usually Doug and I are both on there. And we do the same show. We gear it a little bit more towards fitness to make it No Meat Athlete, you know, worthy of the No Meat Athlete name. But we also do plant-based morning show stuff. It's the same format of show. So come to that, mm-hmm. please. You've been saying you wanted a Friday show forever, and I don't see that many people who always wanted a Friday show showing up at it. Bianca goes to it because she's off on Friday. But not a whole lot of others who, from this crowd anyway. Some are, and I should give credit. I wish I knew exact names. I think Britters is often there. I think Dale may be there, or maybe it's Kate. Anyway, a handful of these people go there.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, look for that. 1 p.m. Eastern time.
That's right. Have a great rest of your day, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow.
All right. Goodbye.